WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here, special edition where we're getting to interview one of my favorite authors on one of my favorite topics that you are going to be excited about hearing. So this is a very cool day to be tuning into Money Matters, whether you're driving around, headed to church or golf or brunch or all those cool things we do on Sunday mornings. You get a few minutes with me. We appreciate being with us. And good morning. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning from 9 to 11 to take your calls, questions, and occasionally do an interview. And I don't do a lot of interviews. I don't do a lot of them because the cool part about Money Matters very often is the questions that are so unique, so diverse, that it keeps me on my toes and it's a lot of fun. And that's what we typically do. But today, regardless of whether the market is having a great week or a bad week and the volatility we know will continue, there is something that we're all striving for, and that's the ability to be able to stop working so that we can do all the other stuff that we can't wait to do, that we've been striving for so many years, so that we can stop traffic and we can stop a boss that we hate. But there's a lot more to it than just the financial side. You all know, if you've listened to any Money Matters, that I've talked for a year now, the better part of a year, about my book, You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think. Certainly, there's some financial parts to the book, but there are also some really critical life skills that I've learned from not the wealthiest necessarily retirees, but the happiest. And there's certainly a money component to it, but the other side of the coin, which is so unbelievably important. In fact, it doesn't even matter if you've got $3 million, $5 million, $10 million. If you don't enjoy the time you have in retirement, I've seen this happen plenty, then what's the point? And with so many people in America getting ready to retire, hopefully retiring earlier, if you're listening to me here on Money Matters, and then the proliferation of all you baby boomers out there that are being able to stop working at some point soon, then this topic that we're going to cover today with author Ernie Zelinsky, author of How to Retire Happy, Wild, and Free, I'm just so glad you tuned in and you're going to love this guy. Ernie, are you with us all the way from somewhere up way up north?
Yes. Good morning, Wes. Yes, I'm in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
I've never been to Edmonton, Alberta, but I bet you in August in Atlanta, when it gets really nasty here, we'd all love to be in Alberta with you.
Well, yeah, Alberta's okay in summer. It's not so in winter. But anyway, it's still a good place to be in summertime, yes.
Well, it's a good place to sell books and write. And you have had such an amazing career as an author, and a very kind of an unlikely career, that I want to at least talk to you for a second about before we get into the meat of your book. But Ernie's background here is that you really semi-retired, or I don't know if you want to call it semi-retired, or tell us a story where you basically at age 31, without a whole lot of savings, kind of had to start a brand new journey. How did that happen, and what happened to you?
Well, yes, that's how I became kind of an expert on the non-financial aspects of retirement. I was an engineer at Edmonton Power here in power company in Edmonton for 5.5 years, and I hadn't taken vacation for 3 years, so I asked the powers that be if I could take 2.5 months of vacation, and they said, no, there's too much work to do. So I took the vacation anyway, and then when I went back to work for about a month, month and a half, and after that they fired me. I mean, I was such a bad person that I could still work for an hour and a half, and I still remember the day that my boss called me in and he said, you've got a half an hour to get your stuff out of the office, you're no longer with us. And it was kind of traumatic for a little while, but then I decided I'd become, I just wouldn't do anything. I was going to enjoy leisure time. I didn't have that vacation. I was going to not go to school, not work. And then I realized during that time that a lot of people have a hard time having leisure time, and I thought I should possibly write a book on that, but I thought, who am I to write a book? I mean, I failed English 3 times in engineering, and I thought I couldn't write a book. But anyway, after 2 years, my money ran out because I had some money saved up and some $15,000-$20,000, but I invested it in junior oil stocks and lost most of it. So I had to go back to, I had to do something to get some money. So I went back to school just so I could get student loans, to survive on student loans. And so that took me, I first went in an insurance program, then I decided to get an MBA so I could teach at a college. And I got my MBA, and I taught at private vocational school for a year and a half, but I could never get a job, permanent job in a college. So then I decided to become a professional speaker, and I decided to speak on creativity. And I did a book in 1989 called The Art of Seeing Double or Better in Business, and it did okay. I did about 5,000 copies. But I finally got around to doing that book on how to handle leisure time.
Well, I see, this is something that I need help with. And, you know, it's funny. I work with plenty of people, and I've wrote a book about retirement and happiness, and that's kind of how we ended up getting connected, because now we're both authors in, the to some extent, the same realm, same genre. And you specialize now in how to really enjoy retirement. And the first half of my book was about how to be a happy retiree. And it didn't have nearly, it has something to do with money in certain levels. So let's get into that here, Ernie, and tell us, first of all, you've sold over 250,000 copies, which is a very big deal in a difficult category. A lot of people do retirement books and they'll sell like 12 copies, or they'll sell 1,000 copies, and it's because they bought 1,000 copies and they gave them away. Ernie actually sells real books. Like 250,000 books in this space is unbelievable. So there's, he's doing something right. I mean, the book has like 450 reviews. Everybody loves it, and there's a reason for this. And the first question I have for you is this. The beginning of your book says, thank heaven. Thank heaven for retirement. And I went, and you talk about how to be able to tell your boss you're out of there and you quit. But the question I have is there a date that's too young? And if you're able to retire a couple years or significantly sooner than your peer group, how do you handle that? And how do you make the transition when maybe those around you aren't there yet? How difficult is that for people?
Oh, it is difficult for some people. For others, it's not. It depends on their mental attitudes, right? I've always done things differently, and people have always looked at me at being a little eccentric and a little weird, right? So you got to be able to put up with that, with people thinking you're different or weird, because, you know, when you you do something different, people are going to criticize you. And there's some people handle it very, very well. And and so far as when is it the right time to retire, can you retire too early? Yeah, of course you can. But I think you can also retire too late, where your health doesn't allow you to enjoy all those things. It's a tough one in this day and age, with, you know, a problem with how long your investment's going to
last.
And
yeah.
I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but there's Joe Udo, who runs, he has a blog called Retire by 40. And they've got all these people there that are trying to retire by 40. And I'm sure most of them, when they retire, if they retire by 40, they won't have much of a problem. Yeah, their friends are going to think they're different.
Crazy.
And weird.
Yeah.
Right. And but anyway, some of those people, I'm very impressed with those people on retired by 40, because I tell people that I was totally broke, and I actually did semi-retire when I was 30 years old, basically. And I have only worked for 4 or 5 hours a day since then, and I have $30,000 in student loans when I semi-retired. But I've always worked on a principle that one of my most influential people in my life was a guy by the name of Robert J. Ringer. He wrote three books in the late 70s and early 80s that were self-published. They were self-published, and they were all New York Times bestsellers. They probably sold 10 to 15 million copies.
What books are these?
Looking Out for Number One, Winning Through Intimidation, and Restoring the American Dream.
And these are all, so this is part of your inspiration to become an author and make some money doing this.
Oh, yes, of course. He was a great inspiration. But one of my favorite quotes from him, he says it's much more profitable to do subpar work on the right project than excellent work on the wrong project.
Now, let me ask you this here, Ernie. One of the things you talk about in the book is that, and this is, again, we're interviewing Ernie Zelinsky, author of How to Retire Happy, Wild, and Free here on Money Matters. You say that if you don't have an aptitude for leisure, then you don't have an aptitude for life. What's an example of that? What do you mean by that?
Well, what I'm saying is, what a lot of people who do retire, they don't enjoy some of the leisurely activities that others like I enjoy, and that could be travel, for example. And studies have found that people who travel a lot while they're still working will travel and enjoy travel a lot when they're retired. But people who don't travel a lot when they're in their normal career, once they retire, they make one or two trips, and that's it, because they don't enjoy the traveling.
And that's one of the keys here. Well, listen, we've got to go to a break, Ernie, but okay. I want to talk about travel, and I want to talk about some of your favorite places that you've been able to spend money very frugally, at least over time, and how that has worked for you to enjoy retirement so much. So you're tuned in to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss. We're interviewing Ernie Zelinsky, best-selling author of How to Retire Happy, Wild, and Free. Stay tuned. News, weather, traffic straight ahead. Then more Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on WSB Radio. I'm your host, Wes Moss, certified financial planner here every Sunday morning, along with Ryan Ely, Scott Maxim, and the crew that we have here on Sundays to take your calls and questions about how to retire maybe sooner than you think, how to be a better income investor. And once in a while, we'll interview an author if they're a best-selling, impactful person. And we have a special treat today, Ernie Zelinsky, author of How to Retire Happy, Wild, and Free. And he has been at the top of Amazon now in the retirement planning section. Number one book, just over and over again, year after year after year, and probably the foremost expert on retiring from a non-financial perspective. Ernie, one of the things you say in the book that's so funny, it's a suggestion for anybody that retires on the very first day of retirement, unplug your television set and unsubscribe from cable. I mean, I cannot imagine missing my HBO. What are you talking about here, Ernie?
Well, the problem is so many people retire, and it's proven by statistics that they end up watching 6 or 7 or 8 hours of TV a day.
What? Per day?
Yeah. It's something like 5 to 6 for sure, and a lot more than people who are working. And then you miss out on all those leisure activities. I have friends who don't have TVs. I do have a TV, I must admit myself, that but I only watch and use on it when I exercise downstairs. But I've been known to go for 3 or 4 months without turning the TV on once.
Does this, in this day and age, does that count? Does that mean you don't have Wi-Fi internet? I'm sure you have to have internet, obviously.
Yeah, I have internet. Yeah, I spend time on the internet. I spend time in coffee shops. That's where I go to hang out and there's a reason for that.
Now, is there something inherently wrong with TV, or are you just saying people just get they get effectively trapped in the house and they don't explore?
Well, and there's been studies to show that TV as a whole is not that great for you in terms of it's a passive activity. It's not an active activity. Reading is a lot more passive activity. In my two books, including How to Retire Happy, Wild, and Free, I list the passive activities and the active activities. Now, you should have a combination of the two, but these passive activities like gambling, shopping, or watching TV, they don't stimulate your brain.
Oh, you're saying reading is an active activity?
Yes. Studies have proven that reading is a much more active activity. It stimulates your brain a lot more.
Well, listen, we're going to continue to stimulate our audience as we continue with Ernie Zelinsky when it comes to how to retire happy, wild, and free. I'm your host, Wes Moss. Stay tuned for more with Ernie. News, weather, traffic straight ahead, then more Money Matters on WSB Radio.
And it's now or never. Ain't gonna live forever.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on WSB. And we're here on Sunday morning. So we typically take your calls and questions, 404-872-0750. In this segment, we have a special treat. I have one of the best-selling retirement authors on the planet, which would make him one of the best-selling retirement authors in the galaxy, which is great. over a quarter of a million books sold. Ernie Zelinsky, author of How to Retire Happy, Wild, and Free, and The Joy of Not Working, which is another one of his titles. Ernie, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
And by the way, retirement books don't sell a lot, and I had said this, I've been saying this morning, but to sell 10,000 retirement books is a big deal. Ernie sold a quarter of a million, and they continue to be the number one ranked book on Amazon in the retirement planning section, just over and over and over again. Of course, I think the best combo, shameless plug, you've heard me talk about you can retire sooner than you think. I think the combination of those two books together might be the best combination of retirement planning books that you could possibly find. Ernie, are you with me on that?
Yes, I agree with you.
But you know, and it's so funny when I'm, as I've gotten to know your book pretty well and your work over the last several months, really the last year, I didn't even know, this is how unknowledgeable I was about the book business. I didn't even know what category my book would eventually end up in. I told the publisher it could be in investing, it could be retirement, it could be psychological and happiness. And it ended up in obviously retirement planning. And it stayed pretty consistently in the top 10. Ernie outranks me usually pretty quickly. But the really cool thing is, as I've gotten to know your work, and I hadn't read the books before I was doing mine. My book, You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think, and we have so many parallel ideas. They're not exactly the same, but Ernie's genius here is about the focus of really being able to enjoy the money that you have saved. I tell you to get to certain benchmarks financially. I think because even though there's this the retirement problem, that you're living too long. It's funny to me that longevity is this big problem, but it's a problem when it comes to outliving our money. The reality, though, is that you and I and all of you listening know people that left this earth way too soon. And those are the people that wish they had retired a little bit earlier. And the reality here is there's a balance. And Ernie's trying to get to that balance about enjoying the money that you have. You don't need to work forever, especially if you don't love your work. Ernie, do you find in America, and I guess Canada as well, is there a pretty large dissatisfaction rate in Canada like there is in the United States? Something like 80% of workers here in the U.S. either hate their job or just are in the take it or leave it category. Not a lot of people love what they're doing work-wise.
Yeah. The studies kind of vary on that. Yes, I've heard as much as 80% or whatever don't like their jobs. But then they do a study when there's employment is hard to get, and it seems that the figures go up for people enjoying their jobs. But yeah, a lot of people don't like their jobs. I get a lot of emails. I still get handwritten letters from people and phone calls from people who don't like their jobs. They hate their jobs. They are in prison, literally.
And they're trying to figure out a way to be able to stop working. Now, let's talk about take care of yourself, because nobody else will. You talk about physical activity and how that's such a big part of a healthy retirement. We just talked about how you should unplug your television as a retiree and not subscribe to cable or anything. What about the physical side of it?
I'm the one who, after I get up, my priority is to either go for an hour run in summer times, or a bike ride, or I exercise downstairs, the equivalent of a 45-minute to an hour run. And it keeps me in shape. And I'm 65 years old, and I'm still 155 pounds. I'm actually lighter than I was when I was in my 20s. But it also keeps the mind sharper to get that exercise every day.
Tell me what you mean by this. Early to bed and early to rise makes a person dull, boring, and despised.
Well, that's a take on who had said, there's some famous person that said maybe Benjamin Franklin.
Benjamin Franklin, yeah.
Yeah, had said that you don't have to stick to that, particularly when you're retired. Why? I'm amazed. I had to go to a coffee shop one time at 6 o'clock in the morning to pick up my computer power cord that I'd forgotten. And I got there at 6 a.m. There's four or five retirees that meet there at 6 in the morning. I'm the type of person that I go to Vancouver. I love Vancouver so much more than Edmonton. I go there like 10 times a year because they've got 24-hour coffee places. And that kind of relates to hanging around a coffee place for... I'd like to quickly touch on this, too. In terms of when you retire, you lose three things that your job provides for you.
What do you lose?
You lose a purpose, you lose a sense of community, and you lose the structure. So you have to get those three things back in your life: the purpose, the community, the structure. Well, to me, I was just talking about how part of my structure is to go for a run, but then I go to coffee places where I do some work, or even just, you know, go on the internet and have fun. But there's a sense of community there in these coffee places I hang around in Edmonton or in Vancouver. In Vancouver, I can go there at a 24-hour coffee place. I can go there at midnight or 1 o'clock, and sometimes I can't get in. I have to walk to another one 10 blocks away.
And midnight in Vancouver? The coffee houses are packed?
Yes, yes. And
they're drinking too much coffee, that's why.
They have about 20 24-hour coffee places in Vancouver. And that's what I like about that, too, is there's people my age, not just young people, university students on laptops, right? But there's some people my age still there at midnight and 1 o'clock. And another thing, I like to hang around coffee places and develop friendships with young people, because as we get older, it's important to have a lot of friends. And not just friends our age, but young people keep me younger.
Well, and you also talk about, so this is a geographical point that you make in the book, and this is about where you choose to live. And this is, to some extent, what you're saying about coffee shops, that they're full, they're active, they're energetic. You meet young people, you meet people your age. But then where do you geographically need to go? If you had to pick a town, where should you be?
Well, I suppose in the wintertime, I would prefer to go to, you know, somewhere that has a temperate climate, somewhere like San Diego or Hawaii. But those places tend to be the most expensive to live in.
Sure.
And I go to Vancouver because I got friends there. Now, it's not as warm as San Diego or Hawaii, but it's much warmer than Edmonton. So I go down there 3, 4, 5 times a year. This winter, I'll probably just rent a suite in a hotel that I go to, and I'll stay the November, December, January, February, March. I get it for $1,600 a month, so I figure I have the best of both worlds. I can live in Edmonton where house prices are cheap and live in Vancouver for the wintertime, and I have a good balance that way.
How does that relate back to a college town? Because you talk about that in the book, about living in a college town.
Yeah, a lot of retirees like to live in college towns because they can take courses. Taking courses are very, very important to keep the mind sharp. In later years, to stimulate your mind, just like reading. And college towns, for some reason, but you know, people study them, are very, very good for retirees. And there again, there's students there, but it's mainly because they tend to be cheaper places to live than, say, New York City or San Francisco. I was just in San Francisco, and man, our property value is high there and going up, right? So that's where college towns have the advantage. But there's also the thing that you can take these courses for life at some of these life learning institutes.
Well, here in Atlanta, Emory has the Center for Lifelong Learning, and I used to actually teach there or do investment classes, and you're right, it's people of all ages. Let me ask you this about when it comes to trying to ramp up well before you've retired. One of the themes in your book, this theme about really you can't just start to have fun when you're in retirement. Where's a mistake? What are some things people can do to ramp up all these areas before they stop working?
Yeah, well, in Joy of Not Working, I've got this diagram. I said, you know, like if you before and after for a workaholic, and a workaholic before retirement may have the work and relationship, and that's all they have. And then after they retire, there's no work, and all they have is a relationship, right? And then they get on their spouse's nerves. Whereas a person that's a peak performer, not a workaholic, before retirement, they have a lot of interest. While they're working, you know, they have their work, their relationship, they have their golf, tennis, jogging, the stamp collecting, church, reading, volunteering, gardening, friends.
So it's time to get really, really busy. And that's these core pursuits. I call them core pursuits, yeah. Hobbies on steroids in the book. We've got to run to a quick news, weather, traffic break. You're tuned into Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning, 9 to 11, interviewing best-selling author Ernie Zielinski, How to Retire Happy, Wild, and Free, one of the best-selling books on Amazon for multiple years now. News, weather, traffic straight ahead, then more Money Matters right here on 95.5 FM and AM 750 News Talk WSB.
Here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on WSB Radio, interviewing Ernie Zielinski, best-selling author, How to Retire Happy, Wild, and Free. I'm your host, Wes Moss. Ernie, before we go today, not a lot of time left, you have a concept in one of your best-selling books called the Get a Life Tree. And it's all about how you have enough money. Maybe you've hit my financial benchmarks I talk about in my book. Maybe you are way beyond that. But you still have to be able to have a reason or a purpose to the spending. How does your Get a Life Tree really help with that? What's the exercise like? What do you find out?
Well, it's actually a retirement planning tool that a lot of people come in. Basically, it's a mind map, and you draw a circle in the middle of the page, options for my retirement, and then you start making branches, and on these branches you put activities that turn me on now, which could be like movies, TV, whatever, and then you do activities that turn me on in the past, but I gave up. Could be swimming, tennis, political meetings, chess. Then think of new activities I've never thought of doing. And you could be volunteering, working as an actor, night classes, and business courses. And then you do activities that will get me physically fit. It could be cycling, swimming, golf, go for walks. And you should have enough activities after you're down there for three lifetimes and not only one. And actually, I had an email from a British member of parliament who said he did that, actually, in the joy of not working. I had to get a life tree. And he retired by the time he was 50. And he actually, that get a life tree inspired him to go into politics because he put politics in it. And he actually ran for the, in two, 2000, what was it, election, the last election, and won. And he's a British member of parliament because of the get a life tree.
This is so cool. So, if a British member of parliament has taken the Get a Life Tree and it literally inspired him before he had been in politics to get into politics, then this is an exercise that every single one of our Money Matters listeners can do, which is pretty cool.
Bit of work.
Which is cool. So again, when it comes to money and it comes to your typical entrepreneur that thinks of an activity like this is maybe it's a little hokey, maybe it's too corny for a big tough guy, but it's funny. One of these things, I've had so many seemingly individuals that would look at an activity like this and kind of say, yeah, it's not going to really help me. But then when they do it, it actually works and actually helps. So Ernie, what a wonderful idea. I encourage our audience to check out How to Retire Happy, Wild, and Free. Ironically, the subtitle, Retirement Wisdom That You Won't Get from Your Financial Advisor. But it's wonderful content. Ernie, thanks for joining us from the great province of Alberta.
Yes.
And I wish you to sell another. I hope you sell another $250,000 books, my friend.
Well, thanks a lot. And I hope that you do the same with your book. Like I said, I love your book. It's a great book.
Your lips to God's ears. And you can find his book, obviously. Best place to do it is Amazon as well. All right. Stay tuned for the 10 o'clock hour of Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.